Greetings and welcome to the Knowledge in Action podcast. We are happy to have you here today. We are going to be having a conversation about youth leadership for the Africa we want. This conversation and the podcast is brought to you by a partnership between the NIDA Fellowship Center and MSTCDC. We are coming to you from MSTCDC Arusha, and we are extremely happy to have these conversations on relevant things. The partnership exists to address and have a dialogue and promote learning around democracy and governance, stability and green transition. On our conversation today, we are going to be talking about constitutionalism as a key tenet of governance and our democracies. To execute this topic of constitutionalism, I have a powerful panel that is going to aid me in having this conversation. I'm going to allow themselves to introduce themselves, and I'm going to start with my brother on my immediate left, Chihoho, who will introduce himself, tell us where he comes from and what is the importance of constitutionalism to our state.
Thank you very much, Stella. I am Chihoho Rabagabo, Olivier Marcus from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I'm happy to be here discussing about this topic. And I think it's important to discuss about this because constitutionalism actually refers to the effort of preventing arbitrary in the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chihoho. And now I'm going to bring in Lillian, who is also going to introduce herself, tell us which country she comes from, and tell us what what is the value of constitutionalism.
My name is Lillian Niva Magero, okay, from Kenya. Constitution is a very important tool because it guides the state and it binds its people together and make everybody to do what is right according to the law or according to the constitution. It also helps us to guide us during elections because some people may be going outside what the constitution states. So according the constitution will help us to guide and come out with a good ruling.
Thank you very much, Lillian. Constitutionalism is the idea often associated with the political theories of a gentleman called John Locke and the founder of the American Republic. And his thoughts are that government can and should be legally limited in its powers and its authority or legitimacy, depending on limited in its powers and authority or legitimacy, and it depends on it observing these limitations. A government is considered functional if it observes this limitation. Of course, this idea brings up a lot of vexing questions, a lot of critical questions concerning whether a government is able to be limited at all by the laws, by other factors in the exercising of power and authority when the law itself is made by government. Today in the East Africa Community Youth Fellowship class, on a week when they are exploring the questions of governance and politics, they had a conversation about constitutions and constitutionalism. They spoke about constitutions as the laws of the land. They also spoke about constitutionalism, the limit of it, who does power belong to, and how is it supposed to be exercised by the state? Should the citizens be asking the state what and how they exercise power in their countries? And maybe one of the things that we need to first of all execute is to find out from them, do we have a continent where every country is practicing constitutionalism and government manages to limit itself within the parameters involved? Chihoho, what are your thoughts?
Personally, I think that there is no a country or a continent you can say which practices perfectly constitutionalism, because as we said, it's a kind of a body of laws which determine the power of the government and its limits. And this definition calls upon the principles of the separation of the powers. And when we speak about the separation, then it should be said like there is an executive power, a legislative power, and the judiciary power. But what we are seeing, maybe I won't be roaming around the other countries, but let's take like the East African countries. You will see that many presidents, many head of states are likely to intervene. They are the member of the executive board, but they intervene in the judiciary issues. And they are there like to impose, they are willing to the legislative board.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in some countries, you will see the head of justice is appointed by the president.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this head of justice will be able to make decisions which are really free? No, because you can never bite the hand which is feeding you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they are accountable to those presidents. And when there is no separation of those powers, it likely worth to say that constitutionalism is really hard to implement mm-hmm. in many of our countries. When we speak about constitutionalism, it calls as well the respect of the rights of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But as we can see, in many countries, I'm speaking about the Eastern African Community countries, the rights of the people are not observed. For example, some countries or some right, like the right to express yourself,
mm-hmm.
they are not respected. People are like, when you want to express what you think, you are not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
When you are planning, for example, to go on the road and express what you need to your leaders,
mm-hmm.
instead of accompanying you, on instead of following you and understand what you need as the people they
mm-hmm.
govern,
mm-hmm.
and the governed, they will send the police to spread you out,
mm-hmm.
and they will not follow what you do
mm-hmm.
while they are there for you as the sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
You are the people who give them power,
mm-hmm.
but they don't understand you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think that constitutionalism is still hard to implement in most countries, and it's like a wish, like a dream, but to fulfill it is still very, very hard.
Chihoho has very interesting thoughts about constitutionalism, and sometimes they extend to say constitutionalism and the rule of law. And one of the things that he is talking about is the fact that in the space of constitutionalism, there are checks and balances. He's saying that there are limits of power to be exercised across government, and he's speaking about the situations that we've had in some of our countries in Africa, where, for example, a single president appoints the entire judiciary and is supposed to be held to account by this very judiciary that is supposed to be watching over him to ensure that he's keeping to the rules and the laws that have been created. He is talking about the powers of parliament and the possibility of what, for example, has been called in Kenya the tyranny of numbers, where parliament has a majority that comes from the president's political party, and therefore he constantly has a sway over what parliament does. What are some of the limitations, Chihoho, that kind of an arrangement has, especially because parliament is supposed to be a representative body? So if the head of state, for example, has control over it, and therefore they constantly make decisions in favor of what he wants, what happens to the voice of the citizens who have given them power?
It's really sad. It's really sad, but it's true. That's what we are seeing in many countries.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, for example, in my country, the Democratic Republic of the Congo,
mm-hmm.
the parliament has the power to control the action of the government. But imagine that the president, who is the head of the executive board, that doesn't have anything to explain himself
mm-hmm.
to the parliament.
Mm-hmm.
It means all of his action cannot be held responsible for what he's doing, before the parliament. So I think in this way, it's like we are voting the members of the parliament and the president, but they are not able to exercise their role, their constitutional role, because of this political context. The president is like holding them in hostage, and instead of doing what they are elected for, they are there to respond to the willing of the president. In my country, there is a given word we say, autorité morale, like moral authority of a party.
Mm-hmm.
And when the autorité morale gives some instructions to those members of parliament,
mm-hmm.
It's like a gospel for them.
Mm-hmm.
While when the citizens, the people who elected him, whatever they can suggest, whatever they can wish, he's ready to follow what the autorité morale said, instead of following what the citizen who elected him said. And that's why you will find it's hard for them to get elected for, I mean, twice. Mm-hmm. It means when he goes there, he goes on responding on the wish of the autorité morale,
mm-hmm.
and neglecting what he was elected for.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are elected, it's like you have a mission.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to raise our voice concerning this and this and this in our community.
Mm-hmm.
But when they go there, it's like the autorité morale said this, the autorité morale said this and this. So in this context, it's like parliament. I know this can sound shocking, but finally, we don't see its importance anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People are going there. We have 500 members of parliament, but the country is still, nothing is changing because the autorité morale is dictating this.
Mm-hmm.
And then constitutionalism is really, really hard to implement in that context because of those kind of ideology.
Mm-hmm.
So for changing this, I think instead of reading or relating to everything, I think the first step was changing the mindset first.
Mm-hmm.
The mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And the mindsets will come from the community first,
mm-hmm.
because the people we elect are the authorities,
mm-hmm.
we deserve, after
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
So the mindset needs to change. We are not electing the people because of their ethnical belonging. They belong to our community,
mm-hmm.
our ethnical, but we need to think the ideology.
Mm-hmm.
What is he bringing?
Mm-hmm.
What is he going for in the capital city?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to really represent the citizen, or he will be there for following the instructions of the autorité morale?
Chihoho is talking about elections and who actually rises out of an election to become a leader and whose interests they drive when they become a leader. Part of constitutionalism is to ensure that those limitations ensure that these people enter there and serve the interests of the people. And one of the questions I'm asking myself is, even as I'm listening to him, what then gets lost? What happens to a society when parliament has lost its accountability to the citizens because it is pandering to the interests of the executive, for example? Or what happens to a country when the judiciary has lost its accountability to the people and is now responding to the interests of the president? What happens to that kind of a nation, Lillian?
Then when that one happened to the nations, and mostly I'll talk about East African countries, and this one is very common, because now it means the power does not belong to the people, the way they normally say that power is for the people. And when, for example, we as leaders, we are serving with our own interest, then it means that the power does not belong to the people. Another thing to add on that, it means that all the citizens that we are serving, we as leaders, the citizens, they have no rights to speak against anything about our leadership, because the same constitution that is supposed to guide us, the same constitution, for example, we can, if anything is happening on the government side, and then we say like the people are now going to the street, I'll use that example because it has been common in most of East African communities, then in those cases we'll get that the citizens are using peaceful demonstration, but the police, there's high rise of police brutality, because now you come and ask yourself, is there any right for a Kenyan citizen or a Congo citizen from Uganda to come out and have peaceful demonstration? And when you go back to the same constitution, they allow it. It is written in the constitution that peaceful demonstration is allowed. And then when the same citizens are going to demonstrate peacefully, for example, when there's a high rise of cost of living, then you'll get that the same law that is supposed to guide them, they are going against the law, they are beating our people in the streets, and then the same people, some of them even they'll die and they'll be buried. Then the same citizens are crying in tears. And there's nobody, there's no constitution that can come out strongly to protect the same people.
What happens to a nation that has now found itself in disorder because of lack of constitutionalism? That you're saying, you're talking about, for example, incidences of excessive use of force by the police. You're talking about extrajudicial killings. You're talking about forceful prevention of citizen participation, including prevention of citizen participation in picketing and protesting. You're talking about even the denial of the freedom of expression for citizens, who then are the ones who've given power to government. What then happens to the democracies of such nations?
What normally happens to such nation is that the economic status of that country will go down. Another thing that will not, because they are supposed to work for the people, because the same people have elected the same nation. When the economic status of the country is down and there's no peace in the same country, for example, when security is very low, when citizens are dying every day and night, then also it reduced the population, the number of population in the same country. And then another thing that will come out of that country, you know, we have youths. In African countries, almost 70% of the population are youths. And then you'll realize that these youths are not even among the decision-making in the tables. Then you'll realize that this, when something is wrong in the country, for example, even skills, they cannot come out with skills because they fear when we come out, something will happen. And at the same time, those tortures that they are passing through, they will not be in a position to practice the skills that they have. Another thing that will happen is that every year, for example, in our country, after 5 years, we should hold another elections. Then you'll realize that we have common figures that and common certain tribes that are ruling. But you realize that when some youths are coming out as an example, maybe they want also to have space in leadership. They are not allowed. They are denied that chance, and there's nobody who is backing them. Because as youths, we are as young leaders, and we are the change agents of tomorrow. And when we are not allowed to reach certain level, or for example, if we can even have forums so that we can practice on how we can have a good government, and then, for example, when we are holding those forums and when we discuss something and is not implemented, there's nobody who is holding our hands so that we can reach
where we are. Thank you, Lilian. Chihoho, you spoke about the fact that this power that is supposed to be exercised in the body of constitutionalism is given by the people. Do we, as a continent, from your assessment of the countries of Africa, do we as a continent uphold the value that power is actually belonging to the people, and it is given to governments to exercise on behalf of the people?
I think on paper, yes, but in the reality, it's paradoxical.
What are some of those things that you have observed across the continent that demonstrate to you that maybe power is not being understood to be owned by the people and exercised on behalf of the people?
Okay, as we are speaking about Africa, You and I have are aware of relevance of many coup d'etat in most of the countries, mm-hmm. And the reason of those coup d'etat is like the people was complaining, mm-hmm. The people was going in the streets to raise the voice about what's not going on, mm-hmm. But the leaders were not understanding that. And when there is insecurity in that way, mm-hmm. When there is instability in that way, mm-hmm. You find it's a door open to the coup d'etat. Mm-hmm. We are not applauding it. It's sad, of course, because we are speaking about constitutionalism. We would like peaceful change of power, but for them, it's like this, they are there for their own families. They are there for themselves. And the people who elected them do not matter, mm-hmm. And this is very sad. That's why I think the continent is struggling to develop because of that. Mm-hmm. a person can be taken to power, but this doesn't mean but that he the only one having the knowledge. This doesn't mean that he has the key for development. But if there is inclusion, especially of the youth, if they take the youth like a resource, not as a threat for the development of the continent, I think this continent, Africa, can move forward to another step.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it's like when you go to power, it's like it's your turn to eat, Israel. It's your turn to get rich. It's your turn to evaluate. But mm-hmm. you are not there to save the people.
Mm-hmm.
And in this way, there are many, many instability. There are many contradictions. The country rich, the country has mineral resources, but people are still poor. And the leaders, the political system, they are extremely rich,
mm-hmm.
while the people are struggling in their poverty, mm-hmm. in their everything they are going through. So I think our leaders should think twice about what they are elected for. They are not there for their political parties.
Mm-hmm.
They are not there for their families only.
Mm-hmm.
When you are elected like the head of the state, you are the father of all the citizens, all the millions, and you need to, and their voices matter as well. You need to understand them, and you need to make sure there is inclusion. Everyone is included for the development of the country. And that's what we saw for leaders in the 20th century, like Thomas Sankara. He was advocating of Burkina Faso,
mm-hmm.
advocating for the democratic participation. Everyone can participate to build our country. But for them, it's like a system. Then they need to lock it for themselves, and the wealth they will be collecting from that power, they leave the people in their poverty, and they get the money they want. Imagine, how come a president can fall sick and he's proud of announcing that he's leaving the country to get healthcare in Europe? This is unfair. A president, you have like 7 children, but none of them is studying in your country. Why couldn't you improve the education system? Why couldn't you improve the health system? Your children will benefit from it, and your citizen. I think in that context, our leaders need to change their mindset and contribute properly to the development of their countries. Because if we mind developing our own countries, the whole region will benefit from it, and the whole continent will also benefit from that.
My guests are saying that there are very many excesses that have been at least seen in the behavior of governments in the continent of Africa. And they're basically saying excesses in the exercise of power, when a head of state has absolute power, when a national assembly has absolute power over a president and therefore makes the president a lame duck president, when the president has tyranny of numbers in the national assembly and therefore the national assembly no longer represents the interests of the people, when the president gets to appoint the entire judiciary and therefore has control over how the laws of the country are adjudicated and how punishment is issued, there is a problem. Those are excesses that constitutionalism is supposed to be addressing. My guests are also saying that when there are excesses in how the leaders who have been given the power to execute taxes and the domestic resources of the country begin to embezzle those funds, do not prioritize them for the right services, healthcare, education, and instead use them for their own personal purposes. And then when they fall ill, they're looking for healthcare outside the country. We also have excesses, and those are excesses that need to be taken care of. It seems to me that we have constitutions in our country, but for some reason, these constitutions are not doing their job they need to do in executing constitutionalism, and especially entrenching constitutionalism. The question I have for my guests is, what then needs to happen to promote constitutionalism in the continent? And I know you may not have thought extensively about this topic, but what are some of the good ideas you may want to share about how we can be able to promote constitutionalism in our continent? Lilian, if you could start.
First thing, they should engage the public. Public participation is very key, because they are working for the public, and the public need to be aware on the amendments that are being made by the constitution. I'm saying this because you realize that when during election time, for example, if a leader is in power today and then he feels that this constitution will not favor him the next coming election, you will now start hearing that they want to change the constitution. This one is an indicator that they want to change a constitution that favors them, not a constitution for the people. Because when I say that public participation is very key, because when the public are engaged during this constitution, the time the amendments are being done, and when the same public, when anything is not going the right way in the government, they'll have a role to question the government on where they're going wrong. But when the government is, when the members of public are not given that opportunity to be in control of on what is happening in their nation, then there's nothing that is going to move forward. Even the economic growth of our countries in Africa and more so in East Africa, it will be very terrible because most leaders will be going for their own interest.
Public participation is a very key tenet in ensuring that the power that has been given to the leaders is actually exercised in consultation with the people. What else, Chihoho, would you front as a mechanism to ensure that we have the right strategies to promote constitutionalism for our continent?
Thank you very much. To deepen constitutionalism in our continent, I think we should address as well our institutions. The institutions of our different countries should be strengthened. Because when we have strong institutions, we will face corruption, for example. Because corruption, after all, is one of the keys of all of this wrong thing we are speaking about. When corruption is in a country, it cannot develop. Because when it becomes a value, we are supposed to disappear as a country. Because that we are speaking about, the president holding members of the parliament, it's because of because of corruption. There are many members of the electoral commissions who accept to be corrupted by those candidates to proclaim them like winners.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when the president has, the power. It means when you are coming from the ruling party,
mm-hmm.
it's easy for you to bribe it and to hold a seat in the parliament. So when we have strong institutions,
mm-hmm.
when we respect the separation of the powers, I think a constitutionalism can have its place. But also we need to mind economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak about economic growth, speaking about inclusion, for example, you cannot call people to go in the streets and ask the government this and this while they are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure that everyone is okay, everyone has to eat, everyone is out of poverty. If you address poverty, this can help.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you'll be speaking about election, everyone knows that I'll participate because I know this member of parliament will be helping in this and this. When we manage economic growth, this will be interesting. But also, when our leaders mind to resist and to face some external pressure they have. Because I know many, we have leaders, actually, in Africa. We can't say that all Africa, what we are going through, it's because we miss leaders. We have leaders on power. But there are some external powers, external pressure, which is dictating the way they should rule our own countries,
mm-hmm.
which is not good. When we can take the example of my country,
mm-hmm.
we have many mineral resources, we have natural resources, but it's like we don't have the decision over them. We've been dictated by the people from the outside. They impose you, okay, this is how you should dig this oil, this is how you could extract this mineral, this is how you should treat this and this, and they impose him the price. While if, as a leader, you had an idea for that, you could know how to extract this, and this mineral, I mean, the income of this natural resource could help, for example, to foster the health system or the education system.
Mm-hmm.
So if our leaders mind to resist those external pressure, I think we can get into constitutionalism. Because after all, there is a common saying, okay, we are not the one who decide who will rule our countries. Most of the presidents dictated by some countries, some powers out of Africa. They are the one who decide you should come to power. You should take this, you should appoint this one as a minister, mm-hmm. which is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
It means if we resist this external power, maybe we can hope that Africa can get developed because we'll be observing constitutionalism. And we will be respecting all of that we were going through. Mm-hmm. We'll be respecting the willing of the of the people. Mm-hmm. We are. Mm-hmm. Imagine for us in Congo, there are some roads which are not built up to now. They don't put tarmac. Why? Because there are pressure outside. If you construct this road, it won't be possible for us to do this and this, which is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Facing insecurity, there is a will from the leaders, but the external pressure. No. Stop! You cannot do this to defend your own countries. So this can be if we address this external pressure. I think constitutionalism can be observed, and we can hope that development is possible for our countries in Africa.
Very compelling points about strategies that we could use to promote constitutionalism in our countries, strategies that we could use to manage the excesses of power in government, strategies that we could use to center the people in the exercise of power. And one of the most critical points I hear from Chihoho is that we need to guard our sovereignty so that it even makes sense to have the conversation about constitutionalism internally, because if we have foreign forces interfering with our governance, then even the question of constitutionalism remains unresponded to. Of course, when we started this podcast, we did mention that there are very many vexing questions that come up as far as constitutionalism is concerned, especially because the responsibility of limiting the excesses of power is also rested upon the same government that creates the law. This conversation cannot end today. There's plenty more and needs to be discussed to improve and even sharpen how we exercise our democracies and ensure constitutionalism. What are the parting shots from my guests to the audience? What are they telling you that you should do to contribute to the thinking around how to manage the excesses of power that we have experienced in our continent? Excesses in terms of promotion of limitations of presidential terms, excesses in terms of the powers of the national assemblies and the judiciaries, excesses in terms of the powers of our police, even excesses now in this day, the time of new media, excesses in terms of the fourth estate and what they can do and what they cannot do with the news. We've heard of talks of fake media. There must be something that can be done by the different citizens that you're speaking to in our audience to be able to ensure that then we start contributing to solutions for this. I will start with Lillian, and then we are going to move to Chihoho. Lillian, your thoughts?
Community members mm-hmm. should participate in a constitution amendment, and they should be also be something like sensitization on the community about the constitution, because we have members of the community and more so in the village and even other parts of Africa. They don't understand what is in constitution. And you know, if I don't know what is in constitution, messing up is very easy. And even when somebody is doing something that is wrong against me, I cannot defend. I cannot go and report. There's no action that I'll take because I don't understand the process. So public participation is very key, and sensitization to the members of public on this issue of constitution is very important.
I hear Lillian saying that the rule of law is critical, but it can only be exercised if the citizens have an understanding of what the law says, they have an understanding of what their rights are, and if there's a sufficient public participation and public education to ensure that these rules are understood in order for constitutionalism to be promoted. Chihoho, over to you.
Thank you very much. I think to raise awareness of constitutionalism to the public, I think we as scientists, we have a mission. Not everyone got the possibility, the chance to go to the university.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them don't know that constitution, if the constitution exists, they don't know about that. So for us, we have a mission to help the community have another mindset. We are heading elections in the DRC in December, the 20th of December this year. Mm-hmm. But you are seeing people today are still accepting to vote for a politician because he gave you like 5,000 Congolese francs. It's less than $3. He went there in the capital city as a member of parliament, and he was there for the whole term, 5 years. Then he come today with a kitenge, you know, like a dress. Mm-hmm. He comes with a hat, he comes with a t-shirt, and he gives to you, say, this is Baba, this is the person we should elect. Mm-hmm. I think the community need to change the mindset. Mm-hmm. And the mindset should change, I mean, at all level. The members of the electoral commission, they need to know that corruption is not a value. Please, the people have expressed their choice. You are supposed to report, but not change. Mm-hmm. That I mean, the willing of the people. Mm-hmm. The mindset should change at that point. Mm-hmm. Don't accept money from a candidate. Let the willing of the people go. I mean, until the end. And those members of the government and the leading board, they should also understand and change their mindset. We are not here for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are here to save the community. I think everything begins by the mindset first. If they change their way of thinking, their way of acting, because it's like insulting people. Mm-hmm. You cannot leave a capital city. You go in the province. Okay, you invite people to come to wait for you. And then at the end of the day, you leave the children and the business and everything. Then you give a t-shirt and a hat. And that's all. That's insulting the people. I think we should have a dose of shame, mm-hmm, on themselves.
Okay.
And in this way, constitutionalism will have sense, because when the mindset have changed, when we raised awareness in the community, every person know that the constitution say this and this. When everyone is sure that my poll, my vote is a power, I think this constitutionalism will be considered like being a power, and the community will benefit from that. So we have a mission. As scientists, we have a mission. We are not going to stay there like complaining. Everyone can begin at where he is. Everyone can begin where they are. Okay, you say, I begin with my community, sensitizing the old women about what are elections. And who should I elect?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to assess their term, what they have done, I'm not going there, okay, because he came and he painted the wall of the stadium, then I need to elect. No, we need to change the mindset and know what has to be done in order to change to contribute to the development of our countries.
I hear Chihoho saying that for constitutionalism to make sense, education must be a continuous process. Education on the rights of citizens, education on how to engage in public participation. But most importantly, and I think this is a conversation that was held during the session in the ESC Youth Fellowship today, on elections as linchpins to democracy. That we should ensure that as voters, we do not sell our right and to own power and our right to issue power by way of a vote. That we should ensure that if we take up the responsibility and we are assigned the responsibilities of being part of EMBs or electoral management bodies, we then take the responsibility to handle these elections with integrity and report and uphold the candidate who then is voted by the people as the most popular candidate. I also hear him saying that once people are elected, they should exercise this power with integrity. They must hold those offices in full knowledge that they're exercising power on behalf of the people and be responsible about how they exercise this power. This conversation is definitely not ending here. This table was not able to execute even a third of what needed to be completed in this conversation, but I'm certain that this conversation has actually planted the seed that will lead you into having more dialogue about what can be done to promote constitutionalism and the rule of law in the continent of Africa. And further to this, what can be learned from the situation we find ourselves in to ensure that then we constantly situate power with the people, and that anybody who exercises power exercises it on behalf of the people. This is the Knowledge in Action podcast, brought to you by MSTCDC Arusha and in partnership with the NIDA Fellowship Center. We bring these conversations to you so that we can be able to expand the space for conversation on democracy, stability, and green transition. Until next time, bye.